on Jesus Risen. The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. Matthew 17:21-22. He is risen, he is not here. Mark 16:6. The following is from French priest Louis Bourdelou. The resurrection of Jesus Christ fully confirms the fact of his divinity. You will say, perhaps, the Savior of the world during his mortal life surely worked a sufficient number of miracles to prove that he was the Son of God. Devils cast out, those born blind cured, those after a death of 4 days raised again to life. Were not these so many manifest demonstrations, so many palpable proofs of the divine power which dwelt within him? What need then of the more striking proof in his resurrection to confirm this belief? I say that the divinity of Jesus Christ was especially attached to his resurrection, who was predestinated the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Romans 1:4. Why? Because the resurrection of the Savior was the proof which this God-man had expressly given to the Jews to make them acknowledge his divinity. Because this proof was in fact the most natural, the most convincing of his divinity. Because of all the miracles of Jesus Christ worked by virtue of his divinity, there was not one which had been so incontestably evident as that of his resurrection of his body. And because it is that of all which has most contributed to the propagation of the faith and to the establishment of the gospel, the substance and main point of which is to believe in Jesus Christ and to confess his divinity. It is not therefore without a reason that Jesus Christ especially insisted on this sign to make it appear that he was God and the Son of God. In fact, it only appertains to God to say, as he does, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it up again. John 10:18. God alone, I say, would express himself in this way. Before Christ came into the world, men were seen who had been raised from death to life, but these were recalled to life by other men. Eliseus, by the mere breath of his mouth, reanimated the dead body of the Shunammite's son, and through the fervent prayer of Eliseus, the child of the widow of Sarepta, who died of exhaustion and a decay of nature, was restored to his sorrowing mother full of vigor and health. But, as St. Ambrose remarks, they who were restored to life were so restored through the means of extraordinary virtues, and those who worked these miracles performed them solely by virtue of given graces. The unheard-of miracle was that the same man should have worked a double miracle, namely, that not only of rising from the dead, but of raising himself from the tomb. And this is what had never been seen or heard of. And this was the miracle which God reserved for his Son, in order to proclaim to the world that he was at one and the same time both God and man. Man, because he had risen from the dead, and God, inasmuch as he had raised himself from death to life. That he might show that he was at the same time resuscitated man and God who resuscitates, says St. Ambrose. It is true that we shall rise again from the dead, because Jesus Christ is risen again. And in order to crown our hopes, I add that we shall rise like unto Jesus, and that his resurrection is the model of our own. For, asks St. Augustine, why had God willed that the resurrection of his Son should have been so obvious, and why was the Son of God so desirous to make it known and to make it public? Ah, answers the holy doctor, it was in order to show us clearly and evidently in his own person the just extent of our pretensions. It is in order to show us what he is and what we ought to be, or what we can become. I have then only to represent to myself whatever is most striking, great, and admirable in the triumph of my Savior. I have only to contemplate that glorified humanity, that body, material as it is, invested with every spiritual essence, emitting beams of living light, and crowned with an everlasting splendor. Such then is the happy state to which I shall one day be raised, and such is the consolatory promise which faith makes to me. Now our bodies are subject to corruption and rottenness. Now they are bodies subject to suffering and grief. Now they are weak bodies and subject to death. Now it is only a lump of flesh, vile and contemptible. But then, by a quick and most marvelous change, they will have, if I may venture so to speak, the same incorruptibility as a god, the same impassibility, the same immortality, the same subtlety, the same brightness. Who will reform the body of our lowness, made like to the body of his glory? Philippians 3:21. All that, nevertheless, on one condition, and that is that we should so labor in the present life to sanctify them by mortification and Christian penitence. For if we have indulged these bodies and afforded them whatever a sensual appetite demanded, and thereby made them bodies of sin, they will rise, but how? As objects of horror, to the confusion and shame of the soul, to share in her torment after having participated in her crimes.